As we say, please rest on your back and take up, return your attention to, bring your, or locate yourself here on the floor. And note, let's note some distances. So perhaps the distance between the head and the pelvis. The distance between the two shoulders. So whatever that means to you, the head is fairly large, the pelvis fairly large. So when you measure the distance, where in the pelvis do you measure that distance? Where in the head? Shoulders as well. You could be measuring from the outside sort of boundary or edges of the shoulders, or perhaps where you find the shoulder joint, the large joint, the glenohumeral joint, where the upper arm meets the scapula, or perhaps somewhere else. Or maybe you tend to measure on the front or the back when you take up that question. And maybe it's not tending, but it's just the way you did it today. Because maybe you've never done such a thing. Also check the sense of length of the two legs and the two arms and compare them one side to the other. Do you have a sense that one side lays on the floor differently than the other? Perhaps more flatly, or perhaps the movement of breathing is different from one side to the other, or sense of the two sides of the face. And note what the movements of breathing are like, whether the rib cage is involved or the abdomen or both. The pace of, or rate of your breathing is like here at the beginning of the lesson. So, though I've mentioned it before, I'll reiterate this Feldenkraisian notion of the self-image, and it's a central theme for Feldenkrais. He begins to describe it in Awareness Through Movement, the book Awareness Through Movement, in a section called The Dynamics of Personal Action. Each one of us speaks, moves, thinks, and feels in a different way, each according to the image of himself that he's built up over the years. And this is, again, using the old language with the masculine form here. I'll just read along. In order to change our mode of action, we must change the image of ourselves that we carry within us. What's involved here, of course, is a change in the dynamics of our reactions and not the mere replacing of one action by another. Such a change involves not only a change in our self-image, but a change in the nature of our motivations and the mobilization of all the parts of the body concerned. These changes produce the noticeable difference in the way each individual carries out similar actions, handwriting and pronunciation, for example. So, without spending too much time in these comments, the introduction of this lesson, Feldenkrais says, In this lesson, you'll learn to group, to use a group of muscles for specific movement in various positions. You'll make the joints employed in this movement more flexible and reach the anatomically possible limits within the first hour. Sometimes in his written work, he's prone to this sort of claim, but certainly you are likely to note improvement. You'll learn the effect of movements of the head on muscular tension, the effect of imagined movement on real movement, and to inhibit verbalization in imagined movement, all of which leads to completion of the body image, particulars of the self-image. You'll also be able to transfer improvement actively obtained by one side of the body to the inactive side, which did not take part in the movement, by means of visualization or thought only. Quite a package. All right, so get a sense, a sort of overall sense of how you rest on the floor here, and remember something about it for reference later, and come up to sit. Find a way to do so that's easy. And put the two soles of the feet somewhere near each other so that the knees are bent. And see if you can sort this out. Spoke a little bit about thinking, listening while doing in a previous lesson. So hold the right foot by placing the heel of the right hand in the palm of the heel of the right foot in the palm of the right hand. So the back of the hand will be to the floor in this case. And then with the, so it's kind of like the hand is between the heel and the floor. And then with the left hand, hold the toes of the right foot, sort of reaching around them so that you could put the thumb, so that you do put the thumb between the big toe and the other toes. And then you're cradling the little toe and the rest of the toes in your fingers. So the palms are up, more or less, toward the ceiling in both cases. You just sort of sort it out. And now here, in this position, begin to lift the right foot away from the floor. Several times. You can start with a small movement. And take care that you help with the arms. Don't pull too much with them. All right, and then pause in sitting for just a moment here and holding the foot, and slide the foot on the floor away from the hips so that you unbend the knee a little bit and return it. So you have to lift a little bit to reduce the friction with the floor. Just make the leg a little longer and see what that asks in the hips and the shoulders, the position of the head. And now begin to both lift the foot away from the floor and take it away a little bit. And you begin to, as you lengthen the leg a little bit, lift it away from the floor and then toward the ceiling and circle back in the direction of the head. So you begin to lift and extend the leg, and then as you bring it in, lower it down to the floor. You can pause wherever you like. So be sure that the breathing is continuous here, and that you don't pull on the legs such that the knee is strained in any way. All right, and then set the foot down and pause in sitting here for just a moment. Hold the foot again in the same way. cradling the toes with the thumb of the left hand between the big and second toe of the right foot, and the heel of the foot resting in the palm of the right hand. And now as you take the foot forward away from you and up toward the ceiling and circle in this way, think of bringing the head in the direction of the foot as you bring the foot in the direction of the head. And then you reverse it as you bring the foot down. So one way you could lift the foot would be to simply tilt back on the pelvis. In this case, you bend forward a little bit through the middle of yourself, shorten the distance between the head and the pelvis. In other words, round the back. And check out to what degree are you extending the leg. Could you extend the leg a bit as you lift it and take it away from the floor and then bring it toward the head? Can you unfold the knee a little bit? That, of course, draws the shoulders, the upper back. You see if it helps to exhale with that movement. So reach away with the foot and away from the floor and away from the hips, and circle back in. So we're just kind of getting started here. You get a sense of what this is like. And then leave it and come to your back and rest. All right, in a moment we'll come back to this movement again, and Feldenkrais comments here, observe the chest, the shoulders, the shoulder blades, and stop, so to speak, trying. Trying prevents the movement from becoming easier and wider. In a skeleton without muscles, one would not experience the least difficulty in raising the foot high. The muscles form the chief obstacle to the movement. As some of them continue to be tensed or shortened than their true anatomical length, even in a state of complete rest. So muscular tonus is in part related to your habits of movement, and clarifying some of those as a feature of this lesson. So roll to one side and come up to sit again, and try this movement out a couple more times on the right side, holding the foot, resting it in the palm of the right hand and holding the toes of the left, and see if you can think it through that you include the back a little bit, the rounding of it, the tipping of the pelvis, the lengthening of the knee to take the foot more in the direction of the ceiling as you lift it out, and then it has a small circling action, a smooth action, you bring it back down. Oh, how close does the knee come to the shoulder on that side? Without turning it into a kind of trying, how comfortably can you extend the leg there and take it in the direction of the ceiling? As you take it away from the hips, forward a little bit, and then drop back in a little and bring it down. Again, see that you use the arms, but you don't only use the arms, the fold in the pelvis, or the hips rather, around the back, so that the head comes toward the foot and the foot comes toward the head, then you circle it back down and set it on the floor. You can see if exhaling is any assistance in that movement. And as you repeat it, you see about making it easier, simpler, with less effort. Maybe that means it's smaller. All right, and then leave it and rest on your back. Feldenkrais comments here, when you rest after a movement carried out without much effort, it's not in order to regain strength, but to study the changes that have taken place during the action. It takes a minute or two, sometimes longer, before it's possible to observe these changes. Here he talks about the method a little bit. The result is that people who are accustomed to switch from one action to the other without any sufficient pause in between fail to observe the after effects of a series of repeated movements. Many teachers do not give their students the time needed to detect the after effects of various actions, even such abstract ones as thinking. Using muscles without observation, discrimination, and understanding is merely machine-like movement of no value except for its produce. It could also be obtained from a donkey or even a real machine. Such work does not call for the highly developed human nervous system. The reception of abstract mental impressions remains a mere mechanical process as well, unless time is allowed to let the individual become aware of the fact that he's paying attention and that this attention is sufficient for understanding. Without this, impressions are a kind of mere recording. The result will at best be a mechanical repetition of even mental processes without their becoming an integrated part of the personality. So you get the impression here, Feldenkrais is not only interested in movement. All right, here on your back, draw the soles of the feet together. So you bend the knees and the soles of the feet, leave the feet on the floor more or less, and get a hold, lift the right one away from the floor and get a hold of it as you did before in sitting here on your back. So you cradle the right heel from between the knees. See what happens in the middle of yourself. Does it draw the top of the chest forward, so maybe the chin comes forward a little bit. You see just what this position is like. Now try out here a similar movement to the one you were doing in sitting. You extend the knee, arc it away from yourself, and take the head toward the foot as the foot comes toward the head, and circle it and bring it back down as you lower the head. Take care that you reduce the amount of effort, that you really set the head down between iterations. And where do you start? How much does that right hip come away from the floor a little bit as you bend in the middle of yourself? It's not just the head, of course, that comes forward. The shoulders come forward, they round perhaps. Maybe you could feel the pelvis tilt as you extend the knee a little bit and take it toward the ceiling a little bit before you bring it toward the head. You know, how close does that right knee come to the right shoulder as you bring the foot and the head toward the ceiling? These two ends of yourself, in a sense. And you try to, pausing whenever you like, exhaling perhaps, to see if that, as you begin the movement. And if there's something you can do to reduce the effort, make it a little easier, try out as you take the foot forward of yourself up in the room toward the ceiling, see how comfortably far you can extend that right knee without pulling on it. And just at your own pace, do several more of these compare it in your imagination to what it was like in sitting, to be doing a very similar movement. How much does the whole trunk bend? How much does the knee unbend? How does the right knee come to the outside of the right arm, perhaps? Maybe they're even in contact a little bit. The outside of the upper arm and the inside of the knee. All right. Leave it, let go of the foot, extend the legs and rest. And note the effects, the action. So that may be the way the right side or the left rests on the floor. Or a kind of lingering sense of work that you're doing with the on one side versus the other. How that changes as you rest. You get a sense of the length from the head to the pelvis here. All right, draw the heels toward the pelvis again and bring the soles of the feet near each other. Knees are out to the side as before, and get a hold of the right foot again. In this particular way, and try several of these movements here. Extending the foot forward in the direction of the ceiling, curving it a little up toward the head, and then bringing the head toward the foot. Then circling the foot back down as you return the head to the floor and rest there. Get a sense of the arc of the foot. Is it a kind of round movement? Again, how much does the knee extend? What's the distance between that heel and the hip joint on that side as you round the trunk, take the head toward the foot and the foot both toward the ceiling and then around toward the head? All right, and then continue holding the foot, but rest on your back. And here, begin to take the pelvis a little bit to the right and back to the center. And by the way, check how you're holding the heel. Put the thumb with the other fingers rather than holding the heel. And you tip a little to the right and come back to the middle. You leave the head on the floor here and just rock a little bit to the right and come back to the middle, gradually making the movement a little bit larger and so the pelvis goes to the right. Maybe you note that the left knee comes a little away from the floor with that. You gradually make the movement larger so that you can build it up so that the right knee comes to the floor off to your right. And keeping it easy, you see what you need to do. You can let the head turn and the shoulders turn. Maybe the whole trunk turns. Maybe the hips turn first a little bit. You can add in looking off to your right as the... Note how the left shoulder starts to come away from the floor. And really explore all the way over there so that the outside of the right thigh comes to rest on the floor. Now, what happens with your breathing? Can you kind of leave it be here? Notice the knee goes off to the side, the left shoulder is drawn along, depending on your own lengths and the ease of extension that you've got. And that the foot could draw the shoulder a little bit, in a sense. Right, and then leave it and rest for a moment. Extend the legs. Note where your head is relative to the pelvis, relative to the right knee here. Will you rest extended on the floor, long on the floor? And draw the feet toward the pelvis again and take a hold of the right foot once more. This way, with the thumb with the fingers and the on the right side and the thumb of the left hand between the big toe and the others. And tip off toward the right side fully so that the knee rests on the floor. Maybe you'll note the left knee coming away from the floor, maybe even the foot stands there, and come a little bit more onto your side even, and begin to think that you'll bend in the middle so that you could take the head out around the knee, as if to take the head out around the knee on the floor on that side. As you do, you come more fully onto the right side, and then you return, you build it up. Really get a sense the head stays low to the floor, if not on it, and think if you could describe a large circle with the top of the head, since that such that it went out around that knee, start to imagine what the implication of that would be. And then begin to add in that you take the right foot toward the floor as the head comes out around the knee. You continue to hold it. You lengthen the knee, extend it a little bit rather, and so that draws the left shoulder. And now think about taking that right ankle to the floor. What would that entail? What starts to happen? You roll a little more to your front. The head arcs out to the side as if to go around that knee. You just build it up. You don't try too hard. You just begin to sort it. And at some point, especially if you free the, maybe the left leg lifts a little from the floor, and you could imagine, and maybe you even find, you could come up to sit. Keeping the head low first, out, going out around that knee. And just see what it's like here. Don't hold your breath. If you don't get there just yet, don't worry about it. The lesson goes on from here. To the degree that you come up, just reverse it and go back down to your back. And check your ambition here. Did you make it about the quality of movement, the feeling out of the image of this action, so that you include the low back, the head, the left hip, the left foot, the breathing. All right, and then come to your back and extend the limbs and rest. Note here any differences side to side. What sort of fading impression of what you've been doing remains? All right, now come once more to sit, however you like, and bring the soles of the feet near each other. Take a hold of the right foot again in this particular way, and just fold the left leg so that the inside of the knee comes to the floor and the left foot is back near the left hip. Take the left foot behind or out to the side of the left hip, so the inside of the left knee comes to the floor. So-called side sitting. And maybe you find you can sit up comfortably here. Maybe you are tipped a little to the right. For most of us, there's some tipping in the hip here. And now just bend forward over that right foot, that right knee, whichever direction you go most easily. Maybe it's kind of directly out over the knee. Maybe you can come forward. And think about bringing the head low to the floor, wherever it's most comfortable. Kind of off to the right or kind of over the middle of the leg. It's possible for some folks to bring the head quite close to the floor, but you bring it low to the floor for you. And then see about if you look at the line of the right lower leg there, can you move the head in front of that line a little right and left? Maybe the head goes a little, when it's low to the floor, that is, a little out toward the knee and then back toward the foot, the back round and the hips in this particular configuration. If you take the foot forward of the pelvis a little bit, you can continue that here. Doesn't have to be big, you just unbend the knee a little bit. And note what you do with the right elbow. Is it just where does it end up for you? All right, and then while your head's forward, just tip, rock the torso a little bit right and left. So it's like you're turning a little to the right. You could look with the eyes a little to the right, a little to the left. So the head's low to the floor-ish. Breathing is continuous. So really the shoulders turn too. The whole trunk turns a little bit. The head low. Shoulders face the floor, and then the left one comes away from it a little bit. Then you just gradually make that a little bit larger. And at some point, as you really turn the head to the left, you can lower the left of the right shoulder to the floor. And with the head low, roll to the back. Find that the shoulder goes outside the knee, perhaps. And then you may have even rolled a little to your left. So you can push with the left foot a little bit and roll back to the right. Put the knee on the floor, arc the head low to the floor, out around the knee, reach with the left leg behind, lengthening it likely, using it as a counterbalance. Keep the head low, bring it out around the knee, and come to sit. You can use a little momentum if you like. If it's possible to do it without, then do it without. A little means a little, and not as much as possible. You just sort of explore this, starting in sitting and coming to the back. Maybe you find that as you take the foot to the floor, it draws that left shoulder. You start by bringing the head low to the floor, curve the back. Make yourself round and take the head around the knee in an arc. And if you're coming from your back, you can roll from the left all the way through to the right. Come up to sit. So you fold the foot around behind, the left foot around behind as you come up to sit. Use the folding and unfolding of that leg to your advantage. You just try this out several times. As you come to your back, maybe you find that you roll over to the left a little bit and just unroll from the left to come back. Use your foot a little bit if you like. Return to sit. So keep the breathing regular. Try to see what it is that's missing in yourself. Perhaps rolling to the side. Don't hold your breath. Watch the expression of your face. If you don't come up to sit, there is more to this lesson. So sort out the rolling to the side, the arcing of the head, etc. And next time you come to your back, or maybe after doing one or two more movements, the breathing regular. Come to the back and rest. I mentioned in a recent lesson, there are these interesting pedagogic arcs and awareness through movement lessons. Sometimes a movement's presented and your first response is, say what? And then the question, usually in those lessons, you hear, as Feldenkrais mentioned earlier, check that you do not try. In other words, don't try to succeed in a sense, as if success was about completing the movement, but lower the effort, fill out your image of what would be needed in the middle of yourself, in one limb or the other, the parts of that self-image that are missing, and then come back to it. So in fact, here on the back, imagine this movement, and imagining in this context means imagine the movements, the sensations of movement, the position of the head, how the one shoulder lifts from the floor, how you come to the side, the arc of the head around the knee, how the head could stay low and only come up late. And fill in any parts of the movement that you feel like maybe you've missed. Maybe you don't know what the left knee was doing. Or perhaps the folding of the trunk so that you really roll to your side and in a sense bend forward while you're on your side to bring the head out around the knee. Perhaps that hasn't fully clear in your image of this action or your self-image as you undertake this action. So then leaving your breathing at its current easy rhythm, after you've really clearly once or twice more imagine the full movement, taking hold of the right foot, rolling to the side, arcing the head out around the knee and coming up to sit so that the left knee folds behind. After you've imagined that once or twice, try it again once or twice in actuality. Try to imagine as fully as you can all aspects of that action. Again on the right. Or you can simply imagine it, or simply rest. See if you could, if you've improved it by Maybe extend the right knee as you're coming to the side and use the foot to pull the arm perhaps a little bit by lengthening that right knee. See if that changes it for you. Reach behind with the left foot as you come up to sit. You try it out. See if you fill in these details, if it gets a little more easy, straightforward. Even if it's in a small way, fill in the image of yourself in action here. All right, and then next time you come to your back, pause, rest. In a way that makes sense to you, come up to sit again, as we did at the beginning of the lesson. Sit with the soles of the feet near, the knees out to the side. Take a hold of that right foot again, as we have been, as you have been. And leaving the foot on the floor, just pause in this position here and imagine the act of lifting the foot away from the floor, extending the knee, taking it higher toward the ceiling, bringing the foot to the head as the head comes toward the foot, rounding in the middle of yourself. Just imagine it as fully as you can several times. Where you bend in order to arc the head forward, how the knee extends, what the breathing coordination is like if you coordinate it. 3, 4, 5 times, really fully imagine the action here, the sequence of it, the sensations of shifting, how as the knee extends, the shoulders are drawn. And then, once you've imagined it several times, try it in actuality several times. Extending the leg, lifting it toward the ceiling as you round the head down. Rounding, kind of bringing the foot down near the front of yourself a little, setting it on the floor. So the foot arcs out and away and lifts. You compare it to how you imagined it. What parts did you miss in the imagining? It's also possible that you imagine something clearly and can't find it in movement. As the knee extends and you lift the leg or the foot, how much do the arms extend? How are the shoulders drawn into it? If you let the head come forward, you could bring the foot back in the direction of the top of the head if that seems comfortable or easy. Otherwise, you could imagine it, what that might be like. And just compare this how it is now compared to the beginning of the lesson. All right, then leave it and rest on your back. So hopefully you found that this process of imagination, if you can fill out a more fully imagined image of yourself in action, it can improve your ability to do the movement. And at any rate, if you haven't found that today just yet, it's certainly a skill that you can consider developing. And that kind of imagination uses, imagine sensation, imagine movement, imagine the quality of thinking changing, etc. Not just a kind of picturing or verbalization. Feldenkrais says here that verbalization can in fact take the place of sensation and control. So he says, of course there's no difficulty at all in thinking the movement in words. One of the great disadvantages of the spoken language is the fact that it permits us to become estranged from our real selves to such an extent that we often have the mistaken belief that we've imagined something or thought of something, where in reality we've only recalled the appropriate word. It's a simple matter to confirm for ourselves that when we really imagine an action, we come up against the same obstacles as in performing the action itself. It's difficult to carry out a particular action, perhaps because the orders of the nervous system, the musculature, don't fit the particular action. So it's not, in this case, perhaps the antagonist muscles used to straighten the back are interfering with folding. It can be enough that they're to become consciously aware of their activity, that a new flexibility can appear suddenly. The folding becomes continuous, comfortable, like an infant. He says here, miraculous. This is a very interesting point in awareness through movement. The moment that this happens, the individual feels as though a window had opened into a dark room and is filled with a new feeling of ability and life. One has discovered mastery of oneself and realizes that responsibility for uncontrolled movements rests largely with oneself. Okay, so in an action here, or an activity of thinking, imagining, pretending, as it were, as you rest on your back with your eyes closed, think through all the positions that we've used in this lesson so far. On the right side, variations as you recall them, holding the foot, turning, etc. And we're not quite done yet, but come to one side, stand up, and come to your feet, and just take a short walk around, see what it's like in standing and walking, having worked on this one side, what the effects of the action are, what you notice for yourself in standing and moving and standing, that is walking. Just a little bit. How does the right side differ from the left? And consider your movement, the turn a little right and left. Study the face and your eye movements. Maybe you know difference on one side of the face even in the other. Then return to a spot on the floor, your spot, your new spot, perhaps, and come to your back. Now here in your imagination, as you rest on the floor, think through the movements of the lesson on the left side. You can draw your knees up if that helps. to begin to assume part of the starting position. Things that you learned along the way on the right. Something unexpected or something that you were clear about. The movement of the pelvis, the arcing of the head, how the hands meet the foot. Everything switched over to the left. Again, as fully as you can imagine that, the sensations, the image of movement, quality of effort, particulars like the counterbalancing of the back leg as you came up to sit, how the head comes forward over the lower leg and out around the knee to go to the back, how that reverses to come up. What it's like to sit with the 2 feet together and simply lift now the left leg, what that will be like, to extend the knee, take the foot toward the ceiling and arc the head toward it, and then come up to sitting, bring the feet near each other and take hold of the left foot. Now the heel rests in the palm of the left hand. The right thumb is between the fingers and the big toe and the other toes. And now try out that action here of lifting, extending the leg away from you and lifting it toward the ceiling, circling it back in and lowering it to the floor. Note the action of the shoulders, the bending of the back, how the head comes forward as the foot comes away from the floor. And see how it is, though you haven't done it at all, except in imagination on this side. What's it like here on this side compared to the first movement on the right side? Of course, there are likely anatomical or differences in muscular tone, but how is it here to try out the left side for the first time? Is it bigger or smaller, or can you make it easier? Clearer. Then fold the right leg around to the outside, so the inside of the knee is to the floor and the heel is by the right hip. And try out coming forward over the left leg, bringing your head toward the floor and then arcing it. The back of the neck gets a little longer and you arc it out around the knee. Maybe you come up to sit before you go all the way to the side, all the way to the back, that is. You just build it up gradually and try out this action of rolling to the back and coming back up, exploring parts of the action. Maybe you extend the knee you learned on the other side to draw the shoulder, so that the foot helps the arm. You see if the breathing's easier, how well you carried what you learned on the other side through to this side. Be sure you keep the breathing easy. You just continue several times as it suits you, as long as it's got your interest and is satisfying to explore this side. Take the foot away from the pelvis to draw the head out around the knee. And if you're still enjoying it, please go ahead and do a couple more movements. But when you're ready, rest on your back. Maybe you find that this side is easier than the other side, or certainly you can get the coordination more quickly, having only imagined it on this side, carrying over the learning from the other side. And when you get to your back, regardless, this time rest. Another interesting point in awareness through movement, Feldenkrais points out here, the side that you, where you actually worked, also carried out many incorrect or difficult movements, which is usual when a new movement is tried. Therefore, the achievement on the second side is easier, simpler. So he suggests here to study the importance of this conclusion. You worked for the better part of an hour on one side and spent only a few minutes on the second, and that mostly in the imagination. Well, he claims here, for most people, nevertheless, the improvement's greater on the second side. Yet all the methods of gymnastics are based on repetition of action. Not only gymnastics, everything we learn is based largely on the principle of repetition and committing to memory. This may make it easier to understand why one may practice daily with a musical instrument and fail to make any progress, while another shows daily improvement. Perhaps the nature of the talent that is the accepted explanation for this divergence of achievement derives from the fact that the second student observes what he's doing while he plays, while the first one only repeats and memorizes and relies on the assumption that sufficient repetition of a bad performance will somehow bring about musical perfection. So note your contact with the floor here at the end of the lesson, how you contact on the right and left, sensations associated with the work you did muscularly, the quality of breathing, sense of length of the trunk, head to hips, pelvis to head, the width of the two shoulders, between the two shoulders, that is, the distance, and the quality of breathing. And when you're ready, think about a way to roll to the side and come to stand such that you don't just come forward here. You preserve some of this sort of way of sensing. Come up to your feet. Pause in standing when you get there. Leave the breathing continuous. Pause with your feet under your hips and your hips under your head before you adjust your clothing or your hair or your position. Anything else about yourself? See what the two sides are like and take a little walk. We'll call it a lesson. Feldenkrais calls this lesson perfecting the self-image. And so can we. Thank you.